Now, the man behind the voice you've been hearing for decades associated with Valley sports teams, ASU broadcaster Jeff Munn. It's time for That's So Money.
Well, hi there, and greetings from Los Angeles, and welcome to the latest edition of That's So Money. This podcast is made available to you through sports360az.com, which you are all already aware of because you have to be at this website to get it. So, what's the significance of what I'm saying? You know what? I've known Brad a long time. I was working at KTAR when he started there, and I marvel at the way sports360az.com continues to expand with the football show, the baseball show, the Brad Sesmatch show, and all the great information that you get on this website. As I'm taping this, the state high school basketball tournaments are going on, and they've got it covered, in blanketed, and it's going on at a number of different venues. So this is a great place to keep up with everything. You know, you always look for that one website that you say, I need to know everything going on locally. This is a pretty good place to start. All right, enough of the commercial. I've got a number of things that I want to visit with you today about, and I forgot to put my phone on vibrate, but you know, so it goes. I am coming to you from the Radisson Hotel adjacent to the Galen Center at USC. Tonight, Arizona State, women's basketball against USC, the women of Troy, and a fabulous season for Charlie Turner Thorne's team continues tonight. By the time you hear this podcast, we'll probably be a little further down the road with the season, but man, it's been a lot of fun. But I got a number of things that I want to touch on, and I actually added a subject to what I was going to talk about today based on just listening to Brad's show and his visit with Jude LaCava, and I'm going to chime in my 2 cents worth on the news that all of us who are KTAR alumni got this week, and that was the passing of former KTAR general manager Jim Tazarak. Now, I'm not going to go very deep on this for a couple reasons. Number one, I did work at KTAR when Taz was the GM, but it was only for a couple months. And I know you tune into these podcasts for different things, and a great many of you never heard of Jim Tazarak. But I just want to say for the record, after listening to Brad and Jude on Brad's show, they hit it right on the center of the target. Taz was a larger-than-life figure. He impacted a lot of careers in the radio business in Phoenix, and he made the vocation of broadcasting in Phoenix better. He raised the bar on performance. And anytime somebody comes into an industry and raises the level of expectation for everybody, that person's powerful. And Jim Tazarak was that guy. He also had a very vibrant, engaging personality that I really believe in a lot of ways will just keep right on going, even with his passing. So Taz, rest in peace, my friend. And what so the stories, again, if you can go back and listen to the Friday, February 26th show where Brad talks with Jude LaCava, you'll understand why all of us have been impacted by the news of Jim Tazarek's passing. All right, now on to some sports items. And I've got something on my desk, that figurative desk, that I've been meaning to tell you about. And it's a little outdated, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I got this buddy. He's my best friend. I've known him for 40 years. And he is really dialed in on football. Played football in high school. Loves the game. And as far as people that I hang out with, or even people I come in contact, he's one of the smartest football guys I've ever known. And during the football seasons last year, we would go to sports bars that had the NFL Sunday ticket package because he wanted to watch all the games. Late in the season, he sat with me and he turned to me at one point, and the Browns were one of the teams that was on and right in front of him. And he said to me, and he said it dead serious, he said, if I was an NFL general manager, I would sign Robert Griffin III and Johnny Manziel to be my quarterbacks, and I'd win a lot of games. Now, I looked at him and I said, okay, Robert Griffin III, maybe. Johnny Manziel? And his explanation, and just follow with me on this for a minute, was this. He said, Johnny Manziel plays football because he wants to play football. He's not doing it to get a big paycheck because his family's rich. Well, I understood his reasoning. I still don't agree with it, and especially now as we're sitting here and everything that has continued to just pile on and pile on about Manziel, even since the end of the 2015 season, it just gets you to thinking that, yeah, it may be the fact that he is so rich that it's actually working in reverse on him, that he doesn't have the incentive to go be a football player. Personally, if I was an NFL GM, I wouldn't touch him. I don't know where Johnny Manziel is going to play football next, and I think, frankly, given what he's what's we've heard about him in recent months, I think he'd be better off not thinking about football for a while and just think about getting his life in order. And that, too, is a question. Does he really want to get his life in order? Maybe he doesn't. Well, if he doesn't, he's not going to play football again, and so where he plays and what league he plays in really doesn't matter. And it's a shame. I'm not sure, and I'm not smart enough at football talent evaluation. I can't tell you what the potential for Johnny Manziel is. To me, he's undersized. To me, he doesn't have the arm strength to get the ball down the field. So I don't really know if he has a future as an NFL quarterback. And as strange as it sounds, if he really wanted to learn how to be effective as an NFL quarterback, I think the thing I would suggest to him is go to arena football for a couple of years. Okay, now you might think that's crazy, but hear me out on this. Part of what made Kurt Warner so successful in the NFL were the couple of years that he spent in arena football. And arena football is all based on getting rid of the ball quickly. If you think back to the days of the greatest show on turf in St. Louis with the Rams, Warner didn't sit back in the pocket for very long. It was 1-2-3 fire. And that's what you do in arena football on a daily basis, game to game. There is no sitting back in the pocket and waiting for things to develop. It's a 50-yard field. It's not going to develop very much. And maybe Manziel could pick up some skills getting rid of the ball quickly that would make him more effective as an NFL quarterback. Just saying. I really do think that that plays a role in learning how to play at the NFL level, is the ability to get rid of the ball quickly. But as I said, Manziel, he really needs to focus on himself rather than football right at the moment. And I think it would really, it's going to be a while before we think of Johnny Manziel as a football player again, if we ever think about him as a football player again. I don't know the man, obviously, but as with any person, I wish for him the best, and he needs to get his life straightened out. You know, in the midst of a difficult season for the Phoenix Suns, I see some things that really give me a good feeling. And number one is Devin Booker. I really like his game. Shoots well from outside, can run, and he's just an all-around good basketball player. Is he a superstar? I don't know. But he's a guy you can build your franchise around also because he's a really good, solid guy. I heard him do a radio interview recently, and he ended the interview by saying, "I appreciate you. Thanks." Well, you don't hear that out of athletes very often. To me, whatever the Suns do moving forward, it's got to be with Devin Booker as a foundation piece, also with Alex Len. And, you know, frankly, the Suns, and in particular, Ryan McDonough doesn't get enough credit for the acquisition of John Lure. Lure's played pretty hard most of the time, most of the year, and well, he's played hard all the time, actually. And he's been a really good pickup. Kind of under the radar, but a really good pickup for the Suns. Obviously, they have a lot of building to do. And these rebuilds take time. It's not going to be a pull the trigger and it gets done overnight. And unfortunately, a couple of times, the Suns have rebuilt themselves and have done it overnight. Jerry Colangelo in 1987-88 with Cotton Fitzsimmons. The great trade of Larry Nance to Cleveland, and they get Mark West, Kevin Johnson, Ty Corbin, and draft picks that turn into Dan Majerle, among others. And the very next year, also with the signing of Tom Chambers as the NBA's first unrestricted free agent, they go from 27 wins to 55 wins. 2003, 2004, Late in the year, the Suns, right before the deadline, trade Stephon Marbury and Penny Hardaway to the Knicks to get them off the books. They signed Steve Nash as a free agent. That's also the time of the ownership change. They already had Amari Stoudemire and Sean Marion. And what do you know? Off they go. Western Conference Finals the very next year. This one's not going to be like that. But to me, McDonough has proven himself as a pretty good evaluator of young talent and a good drafter. So he's got all these draft picks. Let's see what he does with them. And I'm not ready to throw everything out the window and say, well, they got to get somebody else in here. I want to see what Ryan McDonough does with all these draft picks. And he is a really good evaluator of talent coming into the draft. It'll be really interesting to see how he handles this moving forward. All right, now on to some other items. And I really try to avoid on this podcast talking a lot about Arizona State women's basketball because a lot of people, I'm really want to avoid sounding like I'm trying to shove something down your throat because I'm their broadcaster. But I do have to share this with you about what has been a really magical season. For years, a lot of people have looked at women's basketball, the real basketball savvy people, and going all the way back to John Wooden's comment about if you really want to see the game played at its fundamental best, watch the women's game because it's more about the fundamentals. And that is still true. It's nothing against the men's game. Look, the NBA, men's college basketball, is spectacular to watch. Above the rim, the athleticism, it's tremendous. But at the same time, the women's game gives you the strategy and how you utilize different offenses and defenses. And if you're really into the nuts and bolts strategy of basketball, the women's game is tremendous to watch. And a lot of people have commented to head coach Charlie Turner Thorne this year that they find her team to be entertaining to watch. They're great student athletes, tremendous in the classroom. Every one of them is of the highest character. And yeah, I know that from being their broadcaster. But the other thing is that when you watch their games, they are highly entertaining to watch, not because they're doing silly things or trying to make highlight reels, but they play the game fundamentally. And if you're really into the strategy of the game, you see how coaches all around women's college basketball adjust. The Devils' last regular season home game against Washington, and Washington's an NCAA tournament team. Huskies started out in a zone, and they stayed zone most of the day. Devils really struggled with it early in the game, but made some adjustments and also knocked down a couple of three-pointers to stretch that zone out, and it really opened things up to allow them to penetrate more to the hoop. Defensively, Washington has the nation's second-leading scorer and guard, Kelsey Plum, and she was utilizing screens at the other end of the floor in the first half to get open, and ASU was having a hard time fighting through screens and switching off screens to keep a player in her face. Again, an adjustment in the second quarter changed everything, and the Devils ended up winning the game by 20. My point is this. If you are really into the strategy of basketball, in addition to the fundamentals, and look, you can see really good fundamentals at the NBA level in the men's game. But if you want to get into watching how strategy impacts a basketball game, the women's game is tremendous. And that includes the WNBA. I'm not one of these people that thinks that the WNBA is in a lot of trouble. It's going through a lull. There's no question. But every year, they continue to add the best college talent and the best international talent to the league. So if you judge the league on basketball, it's a pretty good watch. And if you are a basketball fanatic like I am, it's tremendous to watch. So, yeah, I'm promoting it a little bit. But for good reason. I also have to talk a little bit about, and I may be repeating something I've mentioned on a previous podcast, but a lot of people are being critical of the Arizona Diamondbacks middle infield and saying, well, where are they going to come up with offense? They don't have a lot of offense in the middle of the infield. And it is an area that bears watching this year. But I will tell you that the acquisition of Gene Segura, the shortstop from Milwaukee, I think has a lot of potential. A couple of years ago, Gene Segura was an all-star in Milwaukee. They had acquired him from the Angels in the Zach Greinke deal. Remember that? Well, they got him as one of the players in the Zach Greinke deal. And before you know it, he turns into an all-star in Milwaukee. A year later, things kind of fell apart. he lost an infant son who passed away during the All-Star break in 2014. Then the Brewers negotiating with him about a long-term extension basically distracted him, and he admitted it, so his numbers fell off. But those are all items that are in the past. Clearly, the loss of an infant son still hurts. But a change of scenery might just be what Gene Segura needs. He's never going to be a 350 hitter, but he can hit, I think, close to 300. He's a good base stealer, and that's something the D-backs really need, especially with the trade of Ender and Ciarte to Atlanta. They need speed on the bases, and they get that with Gene Segura. So I'll be curious to see if Segura rebounds in terms of numbers with the Diamondbacks this year. And if he does, it's a tremendous trade because Aaron Hill, he also needed a change of scenery and wasn't going to get the playing time that he really needed with the Diamondbacks. So it could be a win-win for both organizations. By the way, thought before I get out of here, you remember the night of the NHL draft or even during the lottery when the Coyotes ended up with the number two pick and everybody was bummed that they weren't going to get Connor McDavid? You know, Max Domi's turned out pretty good. Now, I realize that as we're taping this, they're on an East Coast road trip that is not going well, and they're basically playing themselves in some real trouble in terms of making the playoffs. But I look at what Don Maloney has been able to put together just this year, and that organization is better now than it was a year ago. And it's going to get better. And so, once in a while, you need to stop and just say, hey, look, the number two guy, that wasn't too bad. And Max Domi has really fit in with this organization very well. And I'm very excited to see what the future holds for the Coyotes. And the best part is, it's a future that's going to be here. That's really good news, too. Listen, before I close up shop on this podcast today, this podcast and the time that I've done this for Sports360AZ.com has been just me sitting talking into a microphone. And it's great, and I appreciate you listening and that you take my opinions seriously. And I hope I give you something to think about and a different perspective on things. But I also want to give you the chance to respond. I do have a Twitter handle. It's @Moneyball. And I would love to hear from you. If you have comments about the podcast, if you have comments to something I've said on this podcast, you can either go to my Twitter handle, @Moneyball, or you can go to Sports360AZ on Twitter and share your comments. Or if you have questions, or if you have things you'd like me to talk about, I'd love to hear from you. I don't want this to be a one-way conversation. I want to know what you're thinking. And I want to know how you feel about what you hear in these podcasts. So would you do that for me, please? I'd appreciate it. And as a result, I'll give you a podcast that's even better than the one you're hearing now. And that's really what my objective is. Now, your objective, if you want to know what's going on in local sports especially, you got to stick right with this website. So do that, would you please? And again, if you have a chance to hear Brad's conversation with Jude LaCava, which got into a lot more things than just talking about our friend, the late Jim Tazarak, download that show, February 26th. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the weather, and I hope you get out and enjoy spring training, and I hope you keep an eye on ASU women's basketball as we roll through what could be a really special March. Thanks for joining me today. I will update the podcast again soon, and again, send me a note on Twitter. I'd like to hear from you. Talk to you soon.